What's up, everybody? It is Easter Sunday. Happy Easter to everybody. Cheers to you, Danny.
Cheers to you. Cheers with my
water. Anna as well. we're hanging out here on the rooftop, Danny. It's a rooftop.
Up on the roof.
Rooftop Sunday at Hot Fly Brewing Company. And it's so nice to be here. What a beautiful day it is.
It feels amazing.
In Charlotte, North Carolina. It's been a beautiful weekend,
amazing.
Hasn't it?
It has.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. It's what we wanted, right? Everything came together for sunny skies, cool temps. The wind didn't even show up. People were worried about the wind. There was no wind. And all the ingredients were there for an epic night. Left a little disappointed.
It was a good night.
We left a little disappointed, but overall, we're pretty happy. I mean, I think probably there's more people out there that are happier than I am right here. So I want to know, like, am I the most upset about this draw? Is everybody else pretty good with it? Or is there anybody with me? There are dozens of us who are not happy with the draw, and we'll talk about why.
We're presented by Hot Fly Brewing Company. We're here to celebrate another weekend of soccer, and not just Charlotte FC soccer, but Anna Whitty is here. Always fun to have you on the show, Anna. Anna was calling NWSL action last night.
I was.
The North Carolina Courage.
Courage played Gotham, the reigning final champions. It was an exciting game. Not one I expected when it comes to stats and style and all the things, but it was a good game to call.
We're going to talk about that match later in the show, but of course, we're going to start out by asking for your comments. And Sean Swain,
the
famous Charlotte Soccer Show, is gracing us with another cast on this beautiful Easter Sunday. It is our Easter present to all of the TIFOs out here.
Right.
On the holiday.
I'd start making jokes. I don't go to church now, but I grew up in church, so I could make all the jokes, but I don't want to insult anyone, so I'll just say Happy Easter for sure.
I think that was a very, very good decision on your part, Danny. So what we're going to do tonight, we're going to answer that question, right? Because I've got a rant that I want to go on today, and it's about mentality, and it's about that 1-1 draw.
Yes.
And some of the reaction that we saw afterwards from the players, who, by the way, I'm on their side. I'm on the players' side on this podcast today.
It's
not necessarily the manager's side.
It's a players' side podcast. Side.
Yes, exactly right. Because
you're saying that because we heard that the players were a lot more upset about the result than the manager.
Exactly. And in the post-game press conference, Dean Smith talked about how he had a conversation with the players saying that, hey, pick your head up. This is not a bad result. This is a 1-1. And he said so often during the preseason, I wasn't here last year. Giving up goals late doesn't necessarily matter to me. Well, Dean, I've got news for you. We all were here last year. And this is the same thing that we've been seeing
Charlotte
FC all over again, now with you at the helm. I'm not going to criticize you directly about it, Dean.
No,
but even
we saw what happens.
This is the first time you've blown a late lead at home, but it's not the first time we've blown a late lead at home.
Right, exactly. The scars are still fresh from some of the things last year. I don't know. Like, did you get that feeling? Like, what did you think, Anna, just seeing the late concession? Were there any, like, ghosts of last season coming back potentially? Or what? Where did it play for you when you were watching the replay back?
Yeah, I saw the stat line when I was calling an NWSL game.
Yeah, I got a text.
You did, because I was like, oh, it was the 92nd minute.
Yes.
They conceded a goal where I think the goal and how it built up was something that Cincinnati had showed them all game long. Like, they were really kind of playing in front of Charlotte's back line. And, yeah, that's tough, especially when
you
have the home crowd behind you. You've implemented some really good things. You have a brand new DP on the field giving you that energy.
It was beautiful.
It's tough to concede, but I still think the result that they got, you're happy leaving with a point.
A lot of the reaction today I saw from the fan base was, hey, 4 points in 2 matches against the reigning MLS Cup champions, the Supporters Shield champions. Would you have taken that going into these 2 matches? Would you have taken 4 points?
I would have, but again, would they have a thing in poker and in all kinds of things? Is, are you process oriented or results oriented? You know, like, is it good that we got the 4 points, or is it bad because we should have had more?
Well, I guess with a new head coach, you're more process oriented,
right?
Like, you want to build something that Dean Smith wants to play, like how he wants to play. You're not going to see that this early on in the season, typically,
right?
So, I mean, 4 points for me with a new head coach, with some new players on the pitch, I'd be happy. But I understand, like, the draw at the very end, that's a tough pill to swallow.
It was a beautiful night. It was such a great time. Yeah. The pregame party here at Hi-Fi was fantastic. Our pregame show at 5 o'clock always goes a little bit off the rails. It certainly did that yesterday as well. I'll try to reel that in the best I could as Danny Brams, right, and our friend Level Up Luke.
John was not just, he had like Danny Brams and then another Danny Brams sit right next to him, just like two crazies going nuts and triggering each other to go crazier and crazier. But it was fun. The pregame shows are fun. They're definitely unhinged.
Yes, they are.
A little more low key, a little more laid back, a little more process oriented, as we say. We have a great rundown here. We got a lot of clips, and I just want to show, let's get it started because there's so much to show.
Thank you.
And
first of all, let me just say this, Danny, you're the producer extraordinaire on this podcast. Adam and I are just hanging out. You've done a lot of work and prep for this show, and I just want to thank you for that on the air.
I definitely went hard in the paint in the edit machine this morning. I put a bunch of clips out there on social media. Hopefully everybody saw those. We're going to run through some of the best here. And I'm the line producer. John's the executive producer. And then, you know, we make it work together.
And you're the star of the show.
Big picture planning is important. But you mentioned Dino's comments. We got plenty of B-rolls to show and clips that we're going to show. But first, let's just hear from the gaffer on his overall impressions and why he's optimistic.
I've just spoken to the players there because I just feel that they're a little bit too down. I'd be disappointed for, you know, conceding a late goal. But, I mean, they're the Supporters Shield winners last season. They're unbeaten this season. They're meant to have the best defence in the league. And we've created a lot of opportunities. And some really near opportunities as well, which could have been big chances. And I felt we defended our box really well. If you put them two items together for the majority of the season, you know, sometimes you suffer that in a game. Because it's a game of football and you can go end to end. But more often than not, you're going to take your chances and win 4 or 5 nil. We're still, you know, learning, where the players are learning about me. My job and a coach's job is to help the players become better in their moments when they get them. And, you know, I'd be sat here being a lot more worried if we weren't getting them chances. When teams aren't getting chances, then, you know, you've got problems. We haven't got problems because we've got people who are willing to run and get into areas where you're going to get opportunities. And as I say, our job now is to make them better finishers and be good in their moments, because there were some really good moments today that we probably just didn't capitalize on.
A very calm, cool, and collected press conference from Dean Smith after this draw, after conceding late. What'd you take away from those comments there, Anna?
Dean Smith said, if our team wasn't getting chances, I'd be unhappy, but we're getting those chances. Mm-hmm. 16 shots. Ooh. However, 3 shots on target. That's not good, right? You want those 16.
Yeah. We're going to show you why. We're going to show you how that happened momentarily. Yeah, for sure. Just, it doesn't look good on the page.
It doesn't look great, but they're still trying to figure out what the front 4, front 5 looks like. And we've got different numbers in there, and you're playing against an elite team like Cincinnati. You're gonna struggle to... You disagree on that.
I
think they've got some really elite pieces.
I don't think Cincy's that elite. I think that's the
why?
One. And if we talk about why we're happy or sad with the draw, or happy or upset, no one's really sad. You might be upset, mad. I'm on the mad side because I just think Cincy is overrated. I just think, like, the fact that people are calling
why?
Them, oh, we got to draw against the best team in the league. Oh,
Brandon Vasquez does not play for Cincinnati right. anymore.
We got
Acosta does.
You're exactly right. Yedlin's one of the best players
there
in MLS, and Yedlin played well. But Danny, you've been saying, not just after the match, Danny's been saying this all week to me.
Okay.
The fact that, hey, since he's not very good, and I'm not impressed.
Right.
So just continue to expound.
Well, I want to call their schedule here, which is why I went to the laptop, but I should have had this called up in advance, but I'm not producing very well. Thanks for the earlier shout out. But then here's my big one to grow on. I should have had this called up. But they haven't played a weak schedule. I know they've played Chicago. I know they've played New England, who is the worst team in the league right now. And they are the worst team in the league, really bad. Yeah. So I just think since he's kind of a fraud, they really had no chance against Monterrey. They have a low XG against and all that, and they've stopped the goals. But, you know, I got it up. Chicago, DC United, who is actually decent so far, but New York City, who we made look bad, you know, like, I just think since he has a favorable schedule, and that's why they were undefeated through the first 5 matches. But I think we needed a win there. I think we should have expected a win after the first 20 minutes. After what we saw in the first 20 minutes, we should have been expecting to win that.
For the last 20 minutes.
For the last 20 minutes of the match.
I'll say
20 minutes is like
saying,
how a game gets
That's
set.
What I'm saying. Yeah,
well, the last 20 minutes, I want to pivot there because we had a great time in our section last night, section 130. We moved over to section 131 so Danny, my father-in-law, and I could sit together, sit and watch the match.
Yeah.
Had an amazing time with family and friends, of course. Well, Danny, your family at this point, right? It was a family night at the Keep.
It was. Shout out, Russell. You're the man.
And for the last 20 minutes, Danny was in my ear. He was going, 20 minutes to glory, 19 minutes to glory.
I did.
18 minutes to glory. So you,
the
you,
countdown starts.
You started too soon.
Mm-hmm. You were just so keyed in on getting this win.
Right.
And the letdown did happen. And I think it's for me, a really tough pill to swallow.
Mm-hmm.
But to see the gaffer react that way, right? It's like, well, he does calm me down a little bit, right?
Yeah.
He does calm the fan base down. And my favorite thing is, if you look at all these comments, Danny Bramps, they're so spot on, right? Christian Latanzio would have been frustrated as hell in the press conference. He would have blamed the fans. You know, Christian Latanzio certainly would have not reacted that way to that late goal.
Right.
So at least we have that to hang our hat on. Right?
Do you think multiple, like having...
multiple people commenting Latanzio would have blamed the fans. It's like everybody came up with the idea for the toothpick at the exact same time, for sure, or the paperclip. But sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good. I just think having a new head coach, he's got to be smart in how he says things to media, but also like words that go back to his team. He wants his team to be confident in themselves. Yep. They still put out a good performance. Conceding that late goal is, you know, obviously, we've touched on it a million times at this point, but I think he just wants to be positive at this point in the season. There's no reason to be sad or negative, especially with a point.
I love it.
Look at this comment.
What a comment. Edward Hart, thank you so much for being here.
Traveling to the Scottish Highlands, stayed up late to watch, not disappointed with the draw, just know our best is still ahead. First of all, Edward, I want to know what type of scotch you were drinking late last night in the Highlands.
Like a little 11 p.m. highballs, you know? Let's go. Why not?
Cheers to you, Edward. Well done. In the Scottish Highlands. I've actually watched this Charlotte FC game from Scotland, Edinburgh.
I love it.
Yes.
Wow.
I think I watched from Ireland, right? Yeah, I watched the match from Ireland.
Yeah, I need to go. So, yeah.
We did a show when I was in Ireland, at least. I do know that much. Yeah.
Charlotte Soccer Show
to
live.
Scotland.
Live. Yes. When
Edward can join us.
The FIFA, when Charlotte's playing in the FIFA Club World Cup.
Yes.
Maybe the final will be hosted somewhere in the UK.
Could be amazing. So I want to bring up a clip and let's get to the nitty gritty. We've been going for about 15 minutes here. Thank you all of us for the TIFOs around the world who are joining the show. Send the link to your mom. She needs an Easter present. You know, you might as well send her the link to this show so she can tune in. But
I'm surprised you're not wearing bunny ears on today.
I'm also surprised I'm not wearing bunny ears on this show today, but I'll do that for sure. This is what happened. This is the moment. This is the moment of the match. It's actually a double moment. And we took this all the way back because it leads into the next conversation point. The goal itself was a really nicely scored goal. Where I'm not taking anything from Cincinnati away from their great counterattack. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't have been able to counterattack on what should have been a Charlotte goal. So we took this all the way back, and let's look at it.
Yeah, this is the late chance for Enzo Capetti. A great ball by Adi Milanda. Really nice touch by Kerwin Vargas. Capetti's there on the ball here. He's venturing into the box right here. Is he going to shoot? No, he takes one extra touch. He puts it right into the path of the defender. And look what happens here, Anna.
Right.
Right. This is the moment of the game. That missed opportunity leads to
that's rough by Milanda to get beat inside, but he recovers, but it's too late.
Whoever was supposed to mark the goal scorer, I don't think it was clear to the team, because if you watch him make that run inside,
right,
he's not marked,
right, he's completely unmarked.
He's on the back shoulder. There was no communication, and it should have been a center back if I were coaching the team. But if
Westwood didn't follow him. Westwood was right there on his shoulder.
Right.
He didn't follow him into the box.
Or he didn't say anything.
Byrne could have been there because he's kind of in no man's land, but I'm not going to criticize Nathan Byrne.
He's literally halfway between the midfielders and the center backs. So it's just a little bit of miscommunication. But even early on in the first half, I knew how Cincinnati scored the goal because I was watching the game back this morning. And there was multiple times that Cincinnati showed that. And thankfully, Charlotte was able to stop it. But it's something that I think the back line saw a few times from Cincinnati early.
Danny,
look at this quote from Abram.
I was at the game last night. Abram says, my heart absolutely sunk when Enzo missed that chance. And since he came sprinting the other way, the writing on the wall, heartbreaking. Right? I felt the same way, Abram, for what it's worth.
Yere almost cleared that, by the way. Yere almost cleared that of the line. Watch these replays. You'll see Yere almost got there. I don't love that he dragged in on Yedlin's run since there was already another defender there. Priv was already there. I feel like maybe Yere could have posted up at the line, but I'm not mad at him. And he really did almost clear that. I mean, he's so close.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to do, right? I'm not going to overanalyze the defense on this play.
And you want to go back to the beginning?
No, and the reason why is because Dean Smith has preached one thing. His defense starts with the front
third. Right, right. Well, let's watch it one more time. We might as well keep watching it.
I just think that, and I put this out on Twitter earlier, how much longer can this educated fan base deal with Enzo Capetti making the wrong decision over and over and over in front of goal? Leal Abada was there open on the right wing. He could have slotted him in easily for goal. He could have got a shot off. He takes an extra touch. And the extra touch, for me, wasn't just bad. It was absolutely horrific. Somehow, some way, with no one in front of them, ball ends up behind him.
That's the touch right there. Yeah.
And it leads in. And you can tell Capetti's upset with it. He plays with passion on his sleeve, right? And for me in that situation, it's just so, so disappointing to see Enzo Capetti in that moment give the ball up inside the box, not get a shot off. It's just it goes against everything that a striker should do in that moment.
Anna, what do you see?
As soon as this ball comes inside, Capetti kind of controls it at the top of the 18, and Abada's open right now, like literally right now. Why wasn't that pass made before Enzo Capetti entered into the 18? He just didn't know. Or maybe there was a communication. He probably wasn't checking his shoulder, which a nine should always be checking their shoulder to see right. What's around them. Defender-wise, yeah. Teammate-wise.
Of course.
So even before he enters the box, there was that moment for Abada to receive it. But to be fair to Abada and Capetti's partnership, they've never played in a match together before.
Right, right. They're brand new. So yeah, they'll figure a few things out. Yeah. And we'll see. Turnabout is fair play. We're not picking on Enzo. We're going to talk about Enzo here for the next little bit. But we have a whole rip of missed chances, including an Abada one that you know, you're going to see. It's not pick on Enzo Day, but was the moment of the match. Of all the great missed chances, that was the best one.
That was a really good pick out by you, Danny, for sure.
Yes, and at least even though there was 16 shots and 13 of them weren't on goal,
right.
At least the shot happened in that moment. And in that moment, it was just super disappointing. Brandon Davis chimes in. He says, yes, Enzo probably took one too many touches, but it's tough to say. That is a gimme. Hey,
right. There was a lot of pushback. When you posted that on Twitter, everyone was like, easy. You said this was an easy pass to Urso or Abada. And everyone's like, easy, easy. Oh, this guy thinks everything's easy. Right. What's your response to that?
Well, I think my response is about mentality, right? And
is this the rant that you promised earlier?
For me, mentality in this moment is right. If you're a striker and if you're a fan, if you're a club, if you're the manager in that moment, you kind of have to raise your hand and say, well, we kind of fucked up at the end of the match. We had our chance to put this game away. Mm-hmm. We had a 2v1, a striker with the opportunity inside the box, right. And he didn't let one go. And the point is, and this is where I want to push back on the idea of a gimme, right? I'm not saying that Enzo Capetti should have scored a goal there.
Right.
I'm saying he should have done anything besides what happened. Take the extra touch, fire the ball into the supporter section, try to waste some time. Instead, he ends up on the ground, slamming his hands.
Yeah.
And the ball's
going the other way.
Going on the yeah. other way very, very quickly.
Which I think he got up, but I mean, yeah.
So for me, the mentality there, when we're talking about how we're happy to earn the point and taking 4 out of 6, to me, that mentality is totally wrong. But to me, the mentality is this should have been 6 points in 2 matches at home, and we dropped 2 points. We didn't earn 4 points in the last 2 matches. We dropped 2 points
right.
in the last 2 matches.
That's how I feel for sure. Yeah. And I just want to shout out real quick, Len Cornacchia, one of the tremendous friends of the show, the guy who brings family in from out of state to come party with us. Like, he's done that on multiple occasions. Yeah. We love you, Len. Cool. And Len's an ardent Enzo defender. He's been out there trying to preach at least an even keel. I don't think he's like some Enzo lover, but he's just like, hey, let's consider everybody else's missed chances, which we're going to see. And Anna, I can't wait to hear you on some of these missed chances because they're crazy. But I just go back to it. What do you think? You see a lot of strikers play. You see strikers all over the world play. What do you think?
What makes them different? What makes them goal scoring?
Well, what makes Enzo, where does he fit in? What kind of striker is he? Like, remember early in one of our first episodes of the year, you shouted him out as a man of the match for his pressing and his ability to create things off the ball. Are you still seeing that? Or are we not giving him enough credit for that, I guess?
Yeah, since it's not Enzo Capetti, drag him down.
It's not. We love you,
pick
Enzo.
On Capetti Day.
If Enzo wants to go on Twitch and talk shit on me and John, by the way, he can feel more than free.
I think Capetti does a good job with his press. I think that's evident. I think sometimes you get number nines who don't want to do the defensive work, and he's always willing to do what the team asks him to do.
Yeah.
Like, he'll lead that press, and that's what you need. But on the other hand, if you're playing in a formation and you're playing with just one true nine, he has to be that goal scorer. And he hasn't shown that he can do that. I mean, they're also playing against Cincinnati, who only had a 3-back. He wasn't playing against a full 4-back and maybe even a true 6. He wasn't going up against many numbers. So I think he takes too many touches is what I kind of see right now. He's taking way too many touches when he can rip a shot from a further distance, because he can do it. He can score. Even if he didn't pass it to Abada in that moment, he can like you said, he could rip it and see what happens.
Exactly. Yeah, so. Just give yourself an opportunity. Give yourself a chance to close the game out.
Yeah.
You don't need to be twinkle toes around the box right on the penalty spot
right.
late in the match, right?
Right.
You're not maintaining possession at that moment.
Play to the corner flag.
Exactly right. Yeah. You can do anything in that moment except for there. And for what it's worth, I think, you know, Len Cornacchio, he's a huge, tremendous friend of the show. I always appreciate his opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It was great to meet him here at the Hot Fly tailgate as well. But to accuse me of picking on Enzo Capetti, give me a break. I mean, come on, I'm watching these games. I'm breaking things down. I'm analyzing what's happening in front of me. I'm not emotional about these players, right? I don't tell Dean Smith to start the guys that I like. I talk about these players in a way that I'm straight down the middle on them.
That's what I do.
And for me specifically, if you think I'm picking on Enzo Capetti, then that's you saying I'm not doing my job, right?
Well,
because I think I'm doing my job today. I'm calling this moment out. It's my opinion, the biggest moment of the match.
I think Chief Kiefer brings up a good point as a counterpoint. That he's pretty much done with Enzo, but let's keep talking about these other missed chances.
Okay, sorry,
I want to get
sorry,
to those, but
Lenny, I'm sorry. I love you, Lenny. I'm sorry, man.
Before we get there, though, let's just hear what a little bit of Dean. No one specifically asked Dean at the presser about Enzo specifically. No one asked him about that chance. So I might have to start going to these pressers now. That means I can't party for the game. But I mean, geez, these questions need to be asked. But here's what someone asked him about. Someone asked him about the ability to sub a guy like Enzo in and to have Braun. Someone asked him about Enzo, about the subs, and he mentioned Enzo. So let's talk about that, and then we will start to look at everybody else's misses and hear more from Dean later.
It's really good for us because he makes us stronger now. You know, putting the likes of Abada and Capetti and Bronico on the pitch and Junior Urso on the pitch just makes us a stronger squad now, and that's what I like about it. You know, some of the players haven't played a lot of minutes since pre-season, so we're going to have a couple of in-house friendlies over the next few days to make sure they get their minutes up and they're ready to play as well.
He likes the depth that Copetti provides, whether it's or if that's Ajimong on the flip, but like Dean's defending his guys. He thinks Copetti's a contributor to the team. He hasn't sold them out.
Big decision to make. I think it was really easy for Dean Smith to make the decision to start Patrick Ajimong on Saturday night. But now that Enzo Capetti is fully fit and he'll be in training all week long, both of these players, really big decision for Dean Smith on Saturday night at New England. Which striker is going to start at that number nine position?
Who do you like? Ajimong or Enzo?
Capetti.
What?
No. With a performance like that, if you're not going to take your shots, if you're not going to finish it, and I know it's New England, they're sitting at the bottom of the table. For me, I think you just have to start the player who's proven himself a little bit more.
Yeah,
New England. Sound like, no? You don't agree?
I don't know. I think
I love seeing
you
Anna,
agree?
I love seeing Anna putting Danny on the spot. Come on.
I know. I'm like,
I have to.
I guess it's just that I expect him to. I guess it's just because I'm so locked into this whole he makes the most money thing, he's gonna start, but I love. I actually do
about.
Like your perspective.
Not,
yes, agreed. And we should hear some more comments on that for sure. That aspect of it. Let's get to now. I heard your answer. You said Patrick's got to stay starting. Enzo did not come in and earn, you know, a starting spot again with his 20-minute cameo.
Yes.
But wait till you see this next clip. I don't know how many of these chances you really got to break down, but this is what everybody else did. So everybody that is saying that we're too harsh on Enzo, now is your moment because this is bad. It starts with Kerwin very early. This is 2 minutes into the match. Beautiful ball from Westwood. What a ball. Whoops.
It's the second minute. I agree.
He's getting his shooting boots.
I agree. I mean, the fact that he hit it pretty well. It was on target. It was just too high.
You're gonna start to see a theme here.
This is beautiful.
On target, but too high.
This is off a corner. This is secondary off of a corner that got denied and Privet's still upfield. We are. Great aerial duel win there, but then whoop.
Yeah.
In the moment I said it, anybody else, right? Andrew Privet just found himself wide open inside mm-hmm. the 18 with an open shot on goal, and he just sailed one.
Well, if you watch the Bay FC Houston Dash, not to switch leagues, but the NWSL game last night, which was insane. We can finish watching that.
They have a lot of that?
It's actually the quite opposite of that. Like the game winner, she got her knee over the ball using her instep. She was in the same spot that Privet was in when he was trying to take that finish. You just got to be calm, cool, and collected.
Same thing. Here's Augie. Maybe could have gone down for a PK there. Maybe. Well,
he got a touch on the ball. Yeah, that was.
He stays up. He's an honest player, as Ross Smith shouted him out for.
I didn't see that as an option.
Look at Deani just put Acosta in the pocket right there, by the way. And then another beautiful ball forward onside. 1v2, just wide. That could have gone in.
Yeah, that was tough. You'd like to see that one on frame. Obviously, yeah. Patrick, he knew that.
That was his last action almost, yeah.
It was one of his chances in this match, and he knows that he's wearing it on his sleeve as well.
Can we watch that one again?
Oh, well, yeah, we will for sure. Okay. Yep. We'll watch them all again. Trust me, yeah. Okay. But here's yet another one. Watch this ball. Oh, my God.
This was the best ball of the match.
That is a fireball from Urso, and he started this play with the takeaway. And a couple replays on this one. I couldn't find replays of the other ones, but I mean,
I'm standing up out of my seat at this moment. Right. I know it's a great opportunity.
I mean, that is just a curler.
Oh, why do you use his laces there? I mean, that's like a perfect.
I think he's asking himself the same question.
Yeah, it should have been his instep.
Right. So, yeah, finishing obviously is an issue for this. Yeah. Team, right. And I'm not being critical here, but
right.
For me, it's very, very simple to just point out after watching this club now. For six matches in 2024, that mm-hmm. the defense is playing very well, that the midfield is doing a really nice job, specifically Ashley Westwood and Jabril Diani controlling the game in that double pivot area. They're doing fantastic as well. To me, it's just so, so simple here that the forward play and the play of the number 10 is the area that this team needs to improve the most. And for me, that's on the manager. Dean Smith has to find the right ingredients. He has to find the right group of people. He has to train these players all week long to work on their finishing.
Yeah.
And we only get to watch about 30 to 40 minutes of practice a week. Mm-hmm. And we finally saw them work on their finishing a little bit recently. And I know it's something that they're working on as well. But finishing is the name of the game.
Nico,
in this
so many options.
Finishing is the name of the game. In this
The commentary from Tony Husband on there, this is on mute, but he said, when I was listening to this clip, he goes, Niko Petkovic had options, but he also had stars in his eyes. It's like, what a great call. Here comes the other chance you want to see, the next one, I think, Anna, that, from Patrick.
I think that was the chance because the goalkeeper comes out and he makes himself pretty big. So
Celentano's a good goalkeeper. Celentano's a quality goalkeeper.
He was, and he slows down. Like, if he comes out of his box and the defender is forcing him wide, he is cutting off an angle on the goal. To be fair to the finisher, granted, that should have at least hit the goalkeeper or maybe even hit the post in that moment. But I thought that was a good defensive play between the center back and the goalkeeper.
Let me put a spin on this for you, Danny, right?
And
this
spin
one,
me.
I'm going to use the beer half full, the glass half full of beer.
We like that.
Not half empty. And all of these moments are chances.
Right,
and
that's
what
Dean said.
Dean said out the beginning of the show. So if you continue to work on your finishing, if you continue to put yourself in those positions, if Leal Abada is inserted full time on the right wing, all of a sudden you're going to see these chances go in. And if you can start the season 2-2-2, and find yourself in playoff positioning, missing all of these chances, then it feels like your ceiling's a little higher than maybe a lot of people thought before the season.
Law of averages. Eventually, they just got to start going in.
Right. Exactly. Well, I do cover a lot of NWSL, and I thought one of the coach for Orlando Pride, Seb Hines, made a really good point on a coach call. He was like, look, they struggled with finishing a lot last season. They had a lot of young players, a new system. He was new to his role in some ways as the head coach. And he's like, yes, it's great that our strikers are getting the opportunities. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, we pay them to put the ball in the back of the net. So
right.
It's six games in. It's still fairly early, but I think once you hit game 8, game 9, it's like, okay, we're not finishing. What's going to change?
The reason Enzo Capetti was signed last year was because he led the Argentine League he had the golden boot from the Argentine League. Right. That's why we signed him, because we needed goals. He's got to start delivering goals here.
Henry Hogan, I hope I said your last name wrong. He's on your side. He says, exactly, Anna, you're making your point. He says, exactly, you have to score goals. There's no doubt about that. What else we have from Dean Smith? Any
grips
post-match?
So let's talk a little bit about Dean's reaction on some of this. He talked about all these guys. I got a few different clips here. First, he talked about Kerwin and Brecht. He switched Brecht over to the right and Kerwin back to his more natural left here. And he explains why, and then he gets a nice little dig in. One of the best things Dean does is – Dean talks shit without anybody realizing it, and the very end of this clip is a perfect example of it.
I felt, you know, we was getting in quite a lot down there, right hand side, you know, and I felt that, you know, we're down there, right hand side, and I just felt if Kerwin got over there with his pace, you know, Breck's really industrious, and I thought Brett had a really good game today. Kerwin's got more pace, and I just felt that Kerwin could have caused them problems, but they obviously made a change there as well at Priggy won the center halves because we were giving him so many problems.
Obviously referring to Nick Haglund, who was just completely lost in the first half and got subbed out at halftime. Ian Murphy came in, got a yellow card, which we'll see in a second here. But what do you think?
I mean, it's one of those things, Danny. It's like, and first of all, you're absolutely right, is that Dean Smith does such a great job of talking shit without anybody noticing.
He's like, hey, did you notice they took off one of their central defenders at halftime? He's like, did anybody notice that?
It's like a cultural thing in the UK, and I think it comes when, especially it enhances when you come to the United States. Mm-hmm. You speak with that accent, and you can say things with a smile, mm-hmm. but you're actually talking shit, and nobody really realizes.
Great.
He's unbelievably good at that. here's a comment from Matt Gesling, who did a fantastic job taking photos for us. You saw him, all his photos in the new tees. Starting today's show, he says, typical Charlotte sports overreaction. This team is light years ahead of last year, and Dean is even open about how they need to improve a lot. Am I overreacting on today's show?
Let's turn it over to Dean. I got another quote from Dean that can tell you the answer of whether you're not reacting. This is Dean, the man Steve Goldberg asked Dean to, he said, rate your team on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, trying to get him with, you know, like a nice, like something you can write a story around. Dean's rating. Dean slithered out of it at first by spinning the question back onto himself, which you'll hear. But then Steve was like, boom, I need you to rate this team. So listen to this real quick.
In terms of what I know from them, listen, I know 10. In terms of knowing my players now, I've got to know them. I've been with them 3 months. I know what makes them tick. I know what I need to help them improve on.
And in terms of execution of what you think they're capable of, where do you think they're at?
6. Yeah, there's still a lot of work to do, and they can get a lot better. They know they can, and that's the beauty of it. That's what's so good about just having back-to-back games against MLS champions and, you know, supporters' Shield. I think we've drew a line in the sand in terms of where we're at.
I'm glad that he chose 6 out of 10 because I've got this thing. I heard this from somebody, and I thought it was really good. I'm a huge Peloton fan. It's one of the Peloton instructors. I heard them say one time.
Who is it?
It is.
I love Peloton. Sorry, I'm
Peloton buddies over here.
I'm blanking on her name right now.
It's okay. It's okay.
It'll come to me.
I love when Anna puts John Hayes on the spot.
He said he's a big fan, so I thought he had it at the top of his head.
I do. I can picture her face. I can't think of her name. But she said one of my favorite things to do is ask people an out of 10 question, but you cannot use the number 7 because 7 is a total cop out.
Yes.
Because 7 is so much better than 6 and it's compared to 8, it's really a lot less, but 6 compared to 8 is total light years different than one another.
Yeah.
Right. Speaking
yeah.
of that, so for me to hear Dean Smith say 6, for me, there's a room for improvement there. And as far as reacting to this, right, if he's saying, okay, everybody's a 10, but we're playing at a 6, that means, yeah, I think the frustration should be there. And this team has a lot of room to grow, and they should. They should absolutely grow. So would you say a 6? You've watched this team now.
Yeah.
Play 6 games. Does 6 check out for you?
I think 6 is a fair assessment.
If you can't use 7, would you use 6 or 8?
Oh, 6 for sure. Because there's room. If you're sitting in the middle of the table, you can't be an 8.
Okay, exactly. Yeah. That's why I love about using 7's a total cop out. How about you, Danny? Would you say 6 or 8?
I'd say 5. Okay. Again, we're talking about achievement as to their potential.
Right.
The potential obviously is going to grow.
Jess King.
Oh, I like her.
Yeah,
you got there eventually,
said
folks.
Tool.
No.
Ash Hamrick
thought it might be Kendall
though.
Tool. Yeah,
I like her too.
It was Jess King.
Yeah.
I love
her.
Yes.
I like her.
Me too.
That's a good one.
The longer you think about it, the more it'll come to you. I just want to say real quick. Can I do a quick pause here for a quick shout out? We talk about all the great TIFOs on the show. There's only one number one TIFOs in my heart though. It's Susan Bramlett, my dear mother. Happy Easter, Mom. I hope you're loving life in Texas.
Susan, what a great moment.
Thank you for checking in. And it is a great location. You're right. It's beautiful here in the heart of the Queen City. We're right downtown. I love you, Mom. Can't wait for you to come visit this summer.
Wow, Danny. That's really
so
special.
Nice.
And,
that's cool.
I'll say Miss Bramlett.
Top that!
Danny's mom. She is a super supporter of this show.
Mm-hmm.
She always reads our Substack as well. She always comments. And happy Easter, Danny. Are you
She's the best.
Are you a mama's boy, Danny?
Who wouldn't be? You know, when the mom is great as mine. Yeah, exactly. I queued up this clip one more time here because I got one more Dean reaction soundbite. I'll cut this off early. I just want to get back to the Petkovic chance because Nikola Petkovic made his full debut last night. I think that's worth celebrating.
Yeah, we should mention that.
I mean, this guy is, in theory, the future of Charlotte FC.
He played number 10.
He played the number 10. Dean said he wanted to crowd the midfield. He felt like Cincinnati left space there, and so he wanted to play two sixes and a 10. Brecht was out on the wing, so he put Nikola in at the 10 because he thought that he could do it. So we'll look at these. We saw the Vargas and Privet again here. I'll show the Nikola chance, and then we'll hear what Dean thought about Nikola's debut. I thought Nikola was a little behind the pace. I thought he was missing a lot of plays personally, and I'm a fan of his.
Well, look at him running into
space.
But
this is a play that I loved, and I loved him running into space. I mean, the typical thing would be slided out wide to Vargas right there, but he had stars in his eyes, and he went for a shot.
I don't mind that at all.
I think he has to, especially if you're playing as a six. He's dribbling out of the midfield. He doesn't need to be a part. I mean, he does because this team needs to score goals, but like in a typical situation, right, he doesn't need to completely be a part, just a part of the build out. But seeing him dribble like that and seeing that he's recognizing the right space, there's a huge upside.
The potential's there. And obviously, you know, Dean defends his players. Here's what he had to say about Nikola.
Yeah, pretty much. We felt that we could outnumber them in midfield. You know, they've just got the two sixes, and we felt if we put Nico in there as a 10 when we had the ball, there was space for us to play. You know, yeah, I felt he found the ball really well. You know, sometimes he'd find a ball which may be just a little bit heavy or a little bit light at times, but yeah, I was happy with him for 60 minutes, and he deserved that start after last week coming on and, you know, showing the energy and, you know, determination he did.
He definitely deserved the start.
Sure.
There's no doubt about that. But
with the game plan Dino wanted to put in, he was the right guy to put in that spot.
Right. And with the injuries on the wing.
Right.
And with Brecht having to play on the right wing.
Dino had mentioned in the press conference on Thursday that Tavares was a candidate to play. He's like, Yuri could play 10. Yuri's more of a winger. But in the end, it had to be Nico.
Right. And he was not the only player, Danny, that made his debut. That was the full debut.
Right.
But we finally have gotten to the point in the podcast, right, and I think this is perfect.
Right.
We're at the 45th minute, which basically equates to the 62nd minute, yes, in a soccer match.
Let's have a second half sub of Ibada. Yeah,
we're
exactly.
Going 90 minutes on the show today. We're probably going for another 20 or so.
Danny needs if anyone's here streaming down at the bar.
Far, if you're down there watching the show, come on up here with a couple Brookings here.
He might.
Live.
He might.
There was a debut. You saw the debut patch, mm-hmm, on the Alabadas kit last night. He comes on, Danny Brams. This is a massive moment. By the way, this is just after the Gianni goal.
This is right after Gianni's PK, which we'll look at the end of the show today.
Ibada comes on, and the crowd is absolutely thrilled. It's such a great moment, and we were looking forward to this. We talked about this on the pregame show, Danny. Mm-hmm. This is like a club kind of moment.
Can I jump in here, though, because yes, I hate this. And we love Apple. We love our friends at Apple. They do. I love the exposure of the league.
But
and we have all our friends. It's everything before the butt is locked. They cut away from Ibada's debut to show Wobodo subbing out for Corey Baird right here instead of like showing the crowd. I was really pissed about that when I was going back through the footage. Yeah. But hey,
I would say
that's neither here nor there. I have to be open and honest about like we have a good working relationship with Apple, but we got to be honest when I feel like there's something could be done
better.
Well,
the director needs feedback. He's got it.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
I mean, I heard the energy, so yeah. I wanted to see the crowd.
I mean, look at Ibada, you know, making an impact here. I'm going to load this play up again. The way I cut these, so we kind of have to watch them all again from the beginning. So forgive me, but you can just soak in this questionable director cut one more time. And then, Anna, I want to hear what you thought about Ibada's first touch. Watch him drive this thing into the midfield when he gets the ball, really his first touch of the game, I think. Right, John?
Yeah. No, he came on and he was instantly into the action, right? Because what was happening at this moment, we talked about Cincinnati having dominating possession in this match. Charlotte FC only 38.
Show the crowd.
And what was happening as Charlotte FC was sitting back, absorbing pressure, there was just so much space for Ibada to run into.
Yes.
So in a moment like this, he finds himself on the ball and look what happens. Look at all that space.
I mean, why not take it?
Watch the continuation, though. Was this a bad play by the ref to not give us advantage?
There's four defenders. I don't know. I thought about that too. I think you're kind of happy in that moment because it's a great set piece outside of the box.
Now we talk all the missed chances. Here's Leao's missed chance. Yeah. Not a bad play from Capetti.
He finally saw it.
You think that pass should come earlier?
No. It's a good call. We're referencing the last one we saw.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. At that point, he sees the run coming off of his right shoulder. He knows that Abada, and this is what Abada's famous for, by the way, late darting runs into the box. He gets on the ball, kind of bumbles.
Right place,
first,
right time. Bad touch there by Abada. Yeah, I agree.
But he sets himself up for a nice right footed strike.
That second touch.
He puts the laces through and just knocks it over the bar. And that was the theme of the night, over the bar.
Right, right.
But watch this run.
Oh, that was.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it's that first touch could have taken him into his run a little bit better. It allowed for more people to track back. But I think it's a bright side, and you can tell he's playing with a lot of freedom. I think Dean Smith has given him a lot of freedom on this team. He seems to really be enjoying it, even though we saw 30-ish minutes of him last night. But I think once he gets more comfortable, he figures out the league. MLS is different. It's a different physicality-wise, different pace-wise. Obviously, he's playing with a new coach, different players, all that. So,
100%, yes. And that's a great point about MLS, right? You have somebody coming from the Scottish Premiership, somebody who's played in Europe as well, who's playing at a world level with his international club, Israel, right? So now he's coming onto the pitch. And Danny, post-game, he talked about that, right? He talked about how, hey, this is my debut. And this is... I'm going to look. It was so funny that he said post game was like, I'm going to meet the players and meet the staff.
I got to meet the staff. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know who Christian Fuchs is.
I'm just like meeting everybody. I just got here literally about a little less than 48 hours ago.
Wow. Yeah.
Basically 48 hours on. His plane landed Thursday at like 7 p.m.
Right. Shout out to Greg Frank for stalking him at the airport for sure.
And here he was on Saturday night. And when we talk about mentality, that's the type of mentality I'm talking
about. Drawing the foul.
He shows up. He's ready to
dangerous free kick. We didn't do much with
he,
it, but
he draws the foul. And I think he's somebody that this club is really, really going to need.
I queued up this clip. The way I cut these clips, forgive me, we kind of have to watch them all from the beginning. So if you're tired of watching the replays,
I think it's nice to watch.
Yeah. I mean, hey, you can't watch enough soccer, right? But I want to see this next clip, Anna, because I want look for a lane where Abada could have passed this to Enzo cutting inside on this next play, and then watch their reactions and comment on the partnership of two guys who just met each other 2 days ago. This is a replay of Abada's miss here. So but the next play is going to be Abada gets on a long ball again, and watch Enzo's movement. I think there was a lane to pass to Enzo on this next play that we're going to watch that I saw live in the moment, and I wondered about the angle.
So this is it. Abada receives it high. Enzo's on his left. It's 2v2 right there. Yeah. It's hard, though, because he doesn't know what Capetti's capable of. Like, Abada doesn't know how fast Enzo Capetti is. So if he plays that ball, does it go straight to the goalkeeper? Can he even break that line? Does he know how fast the defender that's defending Capetti is?
All fair points. Yeah. But you see Capetti here. He gives him the thumbs up. I mean, there's something there.
Well, yeah. I think it's the idea.
Yeah, it is. It is the idea. And to answer your question that you asked, Anna, Danny, is that there's so many different scenarios in soccer matches, right? Mm-hmm. Where this is Leal Abada's debut, and he ends up getting a shot off, right? It was his moment. Like, he knew it. He took his chance, right? In that scenario, right? He could have made that pass, right? But he didn't. And then he dribbled into the box and got a shot off.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly what Enzo Capetti didn't do minutes later in extra time.
I mean, Johnny versus Len is the theme of the night here, but Len Cornacchia says, love Aji, but the Capetti hold-up play.
We got to make a tail of the tape graphic. John and Len in the heavyweight division.
We'll see.
Let me just address this quickly because he's right. Capetti's hold-up play is much better than Patrick Aujemont's.
Yes, for sure. Like, I think that goes into his ability, Capetti's ability just to like win the ball when he's starting that defensive pressure, and then he can kind of get everybody else involved. So maybe it's Abada playing on the outside. Maybe it's Abada playing in the 10. Still trying to figure out. I don't think he'll play in the 10, but I think a wide area for him is perfect. And just as that partnership grows, 30 minutes of action. He's new to this country, let alone this league, these players. There's so much newness. I think he was just trying to figure out what he's capable of in 30 minutes.
Shout out to Chief Kiefer, one of my favorite commenters because he's a favorite fellow Arsenal fan. Shout out to the 0-0 draw at the Etihad today, excuse me. But I think he does make the point as to why Enzo might have not gotten that pass there.
I don't think he was offside.
Yeah, he may or may not have been, but he did check his run. He checked his run up, so maybe he thought he was offside. You notice he did. It was tough to see. If I could go right back to that play, I would. But we need to move on to some sound reaction because you teased it up, Johnny. Here's what Abada had to say about his own debut, and then we'll listen to Dean after that.
Yeah, before the game, I'm really excited to play and to make my debut in the Bank of America Stadium, and it was really nice atmosphere. And just a little bit sad about the result. I think we deserve to win the game, and we got so many chances, but we will learn from this game, and we will keep going. I just arrived 2 days ago, so I need to learn the team more. I need to learn the staff, the players, and I'm sure I will get that soon, and how we can to bring for myself more and more. MLS, it's really good league, you know. It's the league that improve per year, and I'm really looking forward to bring myself to the team and help to the team to achieve our target this season.
I hear a lot of confidence.
I do too, and for what it's worth, he said he has to meet the staff, he has to meet right. the players, and we had an exclusive interview with sporting director Zoran Crneta, which you can find here on this YouTube page or our RSS feed, Apple, Spotify, wherever you hear podcasts. Make sure you go check that out. After we talked to Zoran Crneta, he did us a solid and he showed us a booklet that he hands out to new signings and new people here in town with places to live in Charlotte, right? Mm-hmm. So it's sure. like not, and you made this point, Addy, like, as you're watching that, you said, and a place to live, yeah. he's got to settle in. Yeah. There's so much going on for him in his life right now.
There is.
There's a bunch of beautiful apartments right here. I mean, just get a spot right down there from Hotfly. You can come down to the next Sunday show, Leo.
True.
Yeah, but, I mean, he
walked to the game.
He does make a lot of money, though. So, I mean, he could pick... you know, he could go Freedom in East Over.
I'm not Freedom the one Park. To pick the fancy places.
Yeah, maybe he can find a little bungalow in Dilworth.
Why not?
That he Ooh. Wants to.
Why not? Yeah.
You know, down Start to South life. Park. You know, he's the old body. He's going to be here for a long time, isn't he? But he's
so brand new. Oblada. Lelabada.
Have you found one that sticks?
We're trying to get the Oblada, Oblada, Lelabada okay. going. Vama, Vama, Abada. Do, do, do. What we finally learned
Who's
from
we?
All the chants.
Who's we?
The people that chant all the time. The people okay, that sit okay. in the 100s and like chant and okay. scream. Yeah.
Danny's very well connected.
You're influenced.
But I didn't sit
are.
There this time because I got there a little late and there was no room, but I tried to sit in the 100s when I can. And we just, like me and my buddy Greg, who stalked Abada at the airport, right. like we just chant song. Greg and I came up with this one together. It's kind of a, and it's a definitely inspired by Sombrero Man's much longer. He wrote like a full song celebrating Abada with to all the lyrics. But it's too many lyrics. So, like, the whole thing to make these chants catch on, we've been trying to do these, like, for 3 years now. We're like, oh, we got this chant. It's like three verses that are so funny and awesome, and we twisted the lyrics of a great song. It never works. You got to go very simple. So, right. name, vamos, oblada, oblada. That's what it's all about.
I think we're still live. I'm going to check my Instagram here because we'll just keep going because this happened before. And because I'm seeing the comments coming in here right now. And the first comes from Geslin, right? You talk bad about Apple, they will find you. someone didn't pay their beer tab. Remember, we're still recording our podcast right now, so even if we did take us down, it's totally fine. Apple heard the feedback and they weren't happy.
This happened to us before. They've come at us before. We're not too worried
Apple
about this.
Said hold my beer. Our friends at MLS, we show a lot of highlights, right? So no, YouTube flags it for
Usually
sure.
they need to check it, and then they're like, oh, okay, it's good, and let
so
it
if
go
If we come
back
or
so,
not,
yeah.
whatever, we're going to finish our podcast here now. And
if you're still here, comment. We need proof of life.
Or you're
going
to be listening to this song. And I always try to do this, right? Because we've spent so much time and energy out of this season, like up in our game, doing video content.
Yeah,
on YouTube,
you guys have crushed it.
Doing live shows, but in my heart.
Well, you're
of
part
hearts,
of that. We've
yes.
crushed it
no,
together.
You guys
yes,
have
for sure.
Crushed yeah. the production. I've learned so much.
You're a huge addition
it's
to the
amazing.
Team.
But in my heart of hearts, I'm an audio producer. Mm. I'm a podcast guy. I love listening to content. Okay. So for all the TIFOs out there who are listening to this on Monday morning as they're driving into work, those are my TIFOs.
Those
but
are your people.
Anybody who's here now, watch on the stream too. I love you as well. But if you're
I
listening
mean,
to the show,
it says we're still alive.
The OG TIFOs. The OG TIFOs, right? The OG TIFOs are the ones who've been listening to this podcast from day one. It's so cool to see. I saw JPP walking out. Thank you. Still alive.
Kiefer.
You know what?
Bellissimo.
I'm going to say this, and Danny's not going to like it, but Elon Musk, he's a huge fan of free speech, you know, and he's never going to take the stream down. But we're not going to go here nor there. Danny, what else do we have to produce?
Well, let's quick show what Dean thought of Abada's debut, and we'll just get a quick. I mean, if we're going to sing a British song about Abada, we might as well hear from a Brit about what he had to say.
Well, they certainly made the mark on him as soon as he came in, didn't he? But he shows you what he is. He's quick. He's direct. He can run at people, and you know. He's had a couple of chances. He'll probably you know, feel he should have hit the target on the first one. You know, he's dragged another one just wide, but he's a big threat. You know, and we're pleased to have him. Obviously, he's not at full fitness, but getting 35 minutes today will do him the world of good.
I love that from Dean. Dean knows what he's got. He said he's dangerous. You know, he's a handful. So we've talked. We've been on the air for an hour. We've talked about Enzo. We've talked about Abada. We've talked about all the guys who had all these misses. The one guy we forgot to talk about was the man of the match. Do you think we should discuss the man of the match, Jabril Diani? This guy's an absolutely insane find by Zorn and the scouting team. And when the moment was huge, he stepped up and did this.
It's to give Charlotte the lead.
Is cool. 12 yards out as finally Charlotte had that breakthrough from the penalty spot. Gianni handed the ball from his count and steps up. Celentano guesses to his right, but it's straight down the middle. Gianni opts just to put it straight down into the back of the net. And Celentano jumps out the way as Charlotte jump in front 1-0.
I love when the subs are there to celebrate.
I do too. And you know, well, you see who was first in Diani's arm?
Enzo
was.
Fantastic call by two tremendous friends of the show now. We love our friends at Apple. Tony Husband and Ross Smith absolutely nailed that call.
Wow, that call was incredible.
And we love our local announcers here too, but I just need to show Apple some love after that cutoff situation. So.
Diani, to me, he uses class, right? Mm-hmm. It's MLS, right?
There's pure class.
Sometimes the level of the league can drop below par, but then you see a player come in from another league and you go, wait a minute.
Yeah.
And Diani's level seems like it meets MLS easily.
It definitely does. I think he has a really good offset to Westwood. Like, Westwood brings that composure. Diani seems to be a little bit more creative and plays with that freedom in the midfield, which mm-hmm. gives them that confidence. And I think having Westwood gives him that ability to be like, okay, I can go do and try what I want to do because I have a spectacular player next to me.
It's a beautiful double pivot. Should we hear some French on the show? Y'all want to hear some French on the show? We might as well. It's a beautiful language.
It's a language of love.
Here's what Jabril had to say about his big moment.
Bah, je suis très content. Et on a travaillé ça à l'entraînement. Et voilà, j'ai pris mes responsabilités. Et je suis content d'avoir marqué aujourd'hui devant le public.
I took my responsibilities and I'm really happy because we worked about like penalty at training, so I'm really happy about that.
I mean, I was French Student of the Year 4 years in a row at St. Joseph's High School, wow. 1993 to 1997.
How many kids were in that class?
That's a good question. Shout out to Camille Taieb, who's the translator there. The club has been looking for a translator to like send someone out to work with Jabril so he could speak to his public. And they found Camille. It looks like she did a great job.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And I love hearing the language of love. I love, I think Jabril speaks English but doesn't know a lot of the adjectives, so he's feeling more comfortable in French. But I think as time goes on, he's going to feel more and more comfortable speaking in English. I wanted to get your thoughts on the PK that we watched here, mm-hmm. and then I got a funny little clip to show next. But what do you guys think about the PK? It was coolly taken.
I'll just say quickly, Danny looked into the camera on last Sunday's show, and he said, Dean, figure it out. 0-2 is unacceptable. These need to hit at an 85% rate. And the fact that Diani stepped up and yeah. scored it was massive, because if he'd missed that, today would have been a big problem here at Hot Fly.
It would have been more of like a 4. You gave him a 5. What would it have been if he missed it? A 3?
Well, it would have been the lead item on the show instead of an hour in. And definitely would have been trending towards 3 for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great hit. You could see he had the confidence to hit it. Him using his instep. I prefer when players use their instep because
me too.
Like, you have more control of the ball, and went right down the middle, had a ton of power. And to go down in the box in that moment, I know it was definitely mm-hmm. clearly a foul, but to kind of not embellish it, but yeah. you know, you kind of have to.
Oh, he earned it, like, yeah. Professionally, right?
Earned the
right. He knew he was on the ball. He knew he had control. He was he was dribbling in a way that earned a foul. It was absolutely beautiful. And there's so many times where you see PKs and you're like, well, was it really one? In that moment, the entire stadium, all 22 players were like, well, That was a PK.
I guess that's what Cincinnati gets for playing striker Yaya Kubo at defensive mid. But I agree. I didn't even show the clip because it wasn't even a question about whether there was a PK or not. But let's show this because this is the joke. So Johnny mentioned, I said, Dean, what are you going to do next? I stared in that camera. Dean probably didn't watch the show, unfortunately, but he did take the time to crack a great joke, which was someone asked him, you know, how did you guys decide this week who took the penalty?
Oh, listen, as any good coach will tell you, it was my choice. No, listen, we've done some penalties this week, and yeah, I really like Diani technically, and he took a really cool penalty.
Dean's obsessed with Diani. He's like, he's falling head over heels for this guy. You can tell, can't you?
Jatem.
Oh my gosh.
Jibril,
and he
Jatem.
Has to. I mean, who's not?
Yeah.
He's such a talent. That's funny, though.
You
I
mentioned.
Love that he shows his personality.
Me yeah. Too. I mean, it's great. Dean cracking himself up to the dad and all of us laughing at his own joke. Yeah. That's absolute on Easter.
It's not just in this post match press conference. Like, you can tell every press conference that he does. Uh-huh. Like, he waits to give his one liners and then he gives like a. And the first time somebody laughs, like he'll go in and be like, "Yep, gotcha."
So true. Yeah,
he really enjoys doing that, and I enjoy Dean for sure. I think, laughing like that after giving up a goal and extra time at home to draw the match is not how I would have done it. But props to Dean for doing it his way.
Yeah, I'm still not on the whole like whoever's doing the best in practice this week takes the PKs and the matches. That's crazy to me. But because Westwood grabbed the ball at one point, Westwood, I thought he was going to take it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he handed it to Jabril, and Jabril was the guy.
Can I make a parallel to the NWSL?
Please.
So last week, the North Carolina Courage, they played Utah, and they lost 2-1. Malia Berkeley, their center back, had two PKs. She missed them both. But she made the one the week prior. Missing them both?
Yeah.
Oh, that's rough.
It's tough.
That's a tough mental.
Two in a game is...
Two in a game.
You played, right? If you went and took two PKs and you missed both from the spot, are you sleeping that evening? Like, how do you fall asleep that night?
I don't
think you can.
I don't even think the captain of the team on the pitch in that moment can either. She missed the first one. Who didn't? Why didn't they take the ball?
Because
that's
the problem is that she had made the one the week before. So it's like, she's 50-50. We could go either way on the third. You know,
right.
It's like,
true.
So, I mean, I think it's that tough. Goes to show those moments can be really hard mentally. And I think sometimes people are like, oh, PKs, it's a given goal.
Right.
Smash it down the middle.
It feels like
smash it down the middle.
You know, that's how I go.
When all else fails, smash it down the middle.
Make the keeper decide for sure. So, Anna, you mentioned you liked the partnership with Diani and Westwood, right? Westwood and our Diani likes it as well. We'll hear from Jabril and translator Camille Taieb again right here talking about the midfield partnership.
Très bien, on se comprend sur le terrain. Je comprends quand même l'anglais, même si je parle pas parfaitement, mais je comprends. On communique beaucoup. Il a été encore énorme ce soir. Il a fait un gros match.
Even if I don't speak fluent English, I can understand them on like the field, so it's very great, and he played great, so it's amazing.
Universal language of masterful midfield play is what I said. Like, if you could translate if you heard the translation, he basically said, "I don't speak English, but I speak football, and it's I speak football perfectly." So yeah, no,
love
yeah.
That.
I mean that again. The culture of soccer is so cool, and that's just another great example of where like you don't need to speak the same language.
Right.
You just need to know where each other are on the pitch at all times, and know each other's body language. It's really fun.
It is.
Totally agree. Cool. We got a few more things rapid fire here, and then we're going to get some bonus NC Courage content that Anna has some very good thoughts on. But we couldn't let this thing go without showing this. Save of the week, hopefully, contender. This is absolutely insane from Kalina. No way we get the point without this save. Oh, just freaking point blank from Corey Baird, the converted mid. What do you think? Some of these replays roll. Tell me what y'all think.
He's a shot stopper. That's what we've always said about Christian Kalina. He's got a big leg. I think that's why Dean Smith really likes to watch him kick it long. But in these moments, that's when Christian Kalina is at his best, when he's stopping shots.
Yeah, I definitely think he came up big in moments. And I think he adds to, we talk about the back line for Charlotte. He adds to that. He's that fifth man back there that I think they really rely on just in the buildup and shot stopping when maybe they lack in a mental air, but they can always count on that goalkeeper.
Someone asked Kalina, you can check out, we posted the video on our shorts feed on the YouTube channel. Someone asked him earlier this week, what's it been like? You haven't faced a ton of shots. He said, I got to be ready for when that moment happens. You know, it's going to come for sure. Yeah. And you, Johnny, you went to the concourse and that when that save happened and you said Jess Charman gave a great call on the concourse. We've been shouting out Tony and Ross. How about the WFNZ crew gave a great call as well?
Yeah, we would have played WFNZ calls on the show today if we, could if find we had them available. But we couldn't today. We usually do. But I went to the – every time I go to the restroom, it seems like something big happens in the match. No. That happened again, and I'm sitting there, and I hear Jess, wow, there's Christian Kalita, and a great save. And I'm like, oh, my God, I almost missed a goal again. But Jess is – she's so on top of these calls. It's so fun to hear her call these matches. She's becoming quite the voice when it comes to Charlotte FC.
100%. 100%. Yeah. Now, we can't let it go without saying that we shut down the league MVP. Here's what Dino thought about Luciano Costa's performance.
I think the team in general, I thought you could see he was frustrated. You could see he was throwing his arms up a lot. And that's because we went and played in their half and they found it hard to get inside our team. We made them play outside, and I think that's why he was so quiet.
Lucho's MVP 2024 repeat campaign ended last night.
Oh my gosh. Strong statement.
Bold take. Yeah. It was nice watching Deonny and Westwood work with him. If a lot of those missed chance, if you watch the missed chance clip again, I'm not going to show it again, but if you watch that again, almost all those chances started with Deonny and Westwood stealing the ball away from Lucho and getting counters.
He definitely misses Vasquez.
Yeah.
Honestly, I do too. I wish he stayed in MLS.
No doubt.
But yeah, that partnership was one of the reasons why they were
there was a Cincy fan in a Vasquez jersey at the Hot Fly watch party yesterday. And I walked in and I slapped him on the back. I said, I bet y'all miss BV, don't you? And he was like, he had no response.
Yeah.
It's tough. We really haven't talked about that, but I think it's really difficult for MLS in general, right? To have a squad win the supporter shield and for their star striker to move to Liga MX.
Yeah.
It's a bad look.
And then knock them out of CONCACAF champs.
I will say though, I think it's a cool opportunity for him. He probably grew up watching Liga MX. Mm-hmm. So it's a moment for him to be like, oh, why don't I just go over there, try and, you know, figure it out. He's still really young. Doesn't mean he disliked his time in MLS. I think it's just kind of like a why not?
That's why we have Anna on the show. It's a great point. It makes a lot of sense. And that's how you think about it from a human point of view.
Right.
I can make some sweeping comment about MLS, but that's really what actually probably happened.
Hopefully. I'd love to see him back.
Globally, Monterrey's a bigger club than any MLS club. It's just the fact of the matter. Yeah. The matter of the fact. I love MLS. It was a Queen City Derby. Right? We couldn't have a derby without a little moment of testiness. Let's hear from Tony Husband again and then Dean right after.
And there's one or two words being exchanged in the technical area as Dean Smith and Pat Noonan having a chat with each other, and everything seems all right now.
I felt they were trying to influence the officials and saying that one of my players had dived, and I will always protect my players and I'll deal with my players. If I think he's dived, then I'll deal with it. You know, don't need, you know, your other coaches dealing with it. So I told them that.
I can't get over this guy sometimes.
He's so funny.
I
love
him. I told him that.
I told him. I don't need you to do that. And I told him that.
Typically, like, British coaches are very reserved. Like, they don't share a lot.
Right.
Even in coach calls, they'll be like, I'm not going to give you my starting 11. Still trying to figure out. And you're like, it's match day minus one. Like, you know it. But I love how he just, like, embraces the American culture of it all. Mm-hmm. Like, he's very front facing. He's fun. It's the game at the end of the day. And I love that he's kind of making this his team in that way.
Agreed. He's finding his way.
Absolutely. Very well said that he is making the team is becoming a reflection of him. There's no doubt about that. And he's setting the example publicly. He's not afraid to speak and share his emotions. And hey, I said this last week, by the way, before the match, I said, I want to see Wilfred Nancy and Dean Smith get into it on the touchline. And Nancy, unfortunately, was dealing with some injury. And what we saw on Saturday was Dino said, you know what? I'm going to get into it tonight. And he got into it with Pat Noonan. And Dino's at the wheel, Dan.
So good. Love Dino at the wheel. So thank you to everyone who's with us. There's still literally thousands of people watching. If you check, like, look to your left, look to your right. So I probably someone.
There's also 200 people here at Hot Fly watching the show live.
But we've got some bonus content because Anna, our esteemed colleague, Anna Witte, is a play-by-play announcer herself. You did some NWSL work. We got a clip. Maybe we can get some love for NC Courage.
Yeah.
Now, this is not your call, but this is a goal
this
that you did call. So let's show it and then have you talk about it.
Let's do it.
All right.
Let's do it.
This is the GOAT, Brianna Pinto.
long down the line. St. George will get there. And the cross comes in. Sanchez, Pinto! Right place, right time! And the North Carolina Courage take the lead!
And just like that, the North Carolina Courage, they've been building and building.
Good goal.
Really good goal. Ashley Sanchez is the player who played Brianna Pinto that ball.
Headed it down. Yeah, and headed Pinto it down. Had the reaction. Yeah.
USWNT Love player who's in and out of the roster right now. I think she's really going to try and use this season to make a push for the Olympics this summer. Cool. But it was a great touch. I mean, North Carolina is a team that typically connects over 500 passes in a game. Like, they're very possession-oriented. Sean Nahas has really changed things this season, and they were outpossessed. It was really a 50-50 game against Gotham. And Ashley Sanchez knew in that partnership with Brianna Pinto. I know they have U.S. youth national team experience together, so there's a little bit
of understanding. She's like, I had this ball here, and I know she'll finish it. Yeah.
But the fact that Sanchez heads it down right onto Pinto's foot, right, who can just redirect nice. It,
yeah,
it's a beautiful goal, and unfortunately, it's the only goal in the match.
Recreate your call of it.
My call?
Let me add some context to this, okay, right?
Okay.
Because last night, we talked about our pregame party here at Hot Fly. We talked about Danny and I heading down to the match, having a good night, having a great mm-hmm. time. Right, we're
can you talk? Are you, can you talk about your walk down to the match? No, are you at liberty to say? Okay, some things happened.
Yes, I'll tell Anna after.
Yeah, I gotta
after,
hear this.
After this. I'll tell her all about
bonus
it.
Up.
And if you catch me next week at Hop Life,
yeah.
But the reason I want to add context here is because while we're doing that, having a nice Saturday night here in town, Anna's actually doing a real job, and she's calling not only the North Carolina Courage game. Right,
yeah.
You called a second game afterwards. You called two games last night. You got on a flight this morning.
I did.
You came home. You hung out with your family. Did Easter brunch. And now you're hanging here.
Right.
Now.
What a day.
I don't know.
What
I don't
a
know
day.
How you're doing it.
Oh my gosh.
You're working on fumes. But like, what Love is that like game. On a Saturday night when you have two games? So you get finished the first game. North Carolina Courage gets the W.
Yep.
You get jacked up for what turned out to be. It was the first game in history for a
Bay
club
FC,
last night.
Right?
Bay FC
had their home opener.
Home opener.
So it's their inaugural season in the league. It's Ali Wagner, Brandi Chastain, Danielle Slayton, and Leslie Osborne. 99ers.
Legends. Yeah, 99ers. Yeah, exactly.
Started this club out in the Bay Area. 18,000 people showed up. It was electric. I mean, they've got some of the best footballers from across the world.
That's more than a lot of MLS games last night. Yeah. A lot.
It's even the chance, like if you go mm-hmm. back and watch the game, like they already had some already going, and I was impressed from that standpoint.
Really nice.
But five goals, seven goals. But yeah, so it was basically North Carolina game ended at 9:00. I called the next game in the same booth, but my play-by-play was coming from a different game. He had three games that day.
Wow.
And it was a 10:00 kick, so we just got set. We got the starting 11. Kind of chatted because I had never worked with him before, and the ball just started rolling and we started chatting, and it's a 10:00 Eastern time kick, which can be tough, not gonna lie. It becomes a long day, but
yeah.
Are you coffee in the off. Booth or some tea in the booth? Or?
Pepsi.
Okay.
I'm not a Pepsi drinker, but
when you
coffee
need it.
That late,
yeah.
I didn't have time to go out and get it.
You get jittery, yeah.
So
you're calling the international feed, right?
Yes.
Right.
If you're not here in America, you heard me last night.
It's actually pretty cool.
But it's pretty cool that it's going worldwide. You know,
it
that's
is.
The thing. Yeah.
The women's game is growing globally right now.
Yes.
And this is one of the best leagues in the world.
It is. Arguably the best women's league in the world right now. I mean, they're going to get Jessie Fleming from Chelsea. I mean, Kundinanji and Oshawala was the big forward for Bay last night. She's from Madrid. It's these big international players who are changing how these coaches are coaching, and it's really speeding up the game. And these rookies, these people that are getting drafted, are really having to prove themselves early. We were talking about it yesterday. Like, wow, we've seen the level of the rookies step up, and I think it's because they have to, or else they're not going to play. And we see 16-year-olds out on the pitch. Riley Jackson plays for the North Carolina Courage. She got some minutes, and she's only 19 years old. Like, they've got the full gamut, and I think that's what's making NWSL really special and so fun to watch. Plus, only 14 teams in a league. You can watch every game in a weekend, essentially. So you kind of get to see a little bit of everything and what each team's doing.
With a little bit smaller league, you kind of learn all the characters in the league a little easier, which is nice,
totally.
For sure. And that's like – that's when I like false starts of trying to become an MLS fan a few times over the years, like 15 years ago, 10 years ago, like right when Beckham first came and stuff. And I would try and I wouldn't really get into it. And really, once I finally like started to learn the characters of the league and all the different like crazy players on all the different teams, that's when I really started to like embrace the whole league. And I think a lot of that's happening with NWSL. We've done a lot of coverage on the Super League that's launching locally here in Charlotte later this year. But until they launch, Carolina, NC Courage are the home team.
Right. At this point, they are for sure. Right. And there's definitely a rivalry brewing, right, between NWSL and USL Super League in a way that is real. I think it's in a way that is like a college sport conference, right? The Big Ten, the SEC. There's room for both leagues, no doubt about it. And I think when there's competition, that usually brings out the best in people. So with the NWSL, seeing that the US Super League is launching, the Carolina Ascent here in town, I think ultimately that is just so great for sports fans here in town, for people that love women's sports, and in general, not just soccer, right? We're watching it now with the NCAA tournament.
Right.
And we're just seeing women's sports, we're finally there. It's 2024. We've waited such a long time for women's sports to get a spotlight. And that's why we want to do it on the show. That's why we're so happy to have you here on the show. And what we want to do is just bring it to our audience and say, hey, like this is happening and this is real. And not only is the soccer being played, it's damn good soccer too.
It's really good soccer. And that's the biggest piece. Like you only have so many teams in the league. So there's only room for so many good players to play on the pitch, which means the level is raised even
They're
higher.
They're not running out of filler.
No.
Spots.
And some of these international players, I mean, Oswala, she played for Barcelona. I apologize. Not Madrid. Barcelona. I think her stat, 162 games
played.
Not
a mistake if you correct yourself.
That's right. 162 games played, 117 goals.
That's great.
And she couldn't get a goal in the home opener. She was really struggling. I think that's like a good indication of NWSL soccer and the women's game here in the States and how it's really being, it's super competitive and a phenomenal brand. If you haven't checked it out yet, like Amazon, ION, CBS, NWSL Plus, they've got all the network.
Yeah, it's more accessible than ever.
Yeah.
What's your schedule like coming up this week?
This weekend's the international break because USWNT is playing in the She Believes Cup. So
semifinal or
semi or quarter?
It's definitely a knockout match in the She Believes.
Yeah.
For sure. I think Philip Poole, the USL Super League head coach, this is his final competition on the United States women's national team bench.
Playing Japan on Saturday at 12:30 semis. And then, they'll go back the following week to league play. So it's a break, but I think these teams kind of need it to reassess after match day 3. So
there's a lot of soccer coming up. There's midweek Premier League this week as well. The run into the end of the season, the Champions League quarterfinal is coming as well. And Charlotte, we're going to be talking about this later this week. Charlotte FC is heading up to New England. It's time.
The worst stadium in the league.
It's time for some Northern attitude, Danny. We're heading into phase 3 of the Charlotte FC season.
Yeah.
It's time for some Northern attitude.
Phase 4. Phase 1 was just a one-game phase, remember?
You're absolutely right.
We just finished up with Contenders at the Keep, which was only a two-game phase. Yes. But now we're in stage 4 of the campaign. You need to get a couple stages under your belt, and then the stages get longer.
It kicks off. Yeah. New England is 29 out of 29 in MLS. We're going to preview this match this week on Charlotte Soccer Show.
Yeah.
New England, speaking of midweek matches, I believe Club America, New England has –
Yeah, they're still in CCC, CONCACAF Champions Cup. So they got a midweek match. That's good. They want to go for that. So I think they would rotate for the match against us and put their strongest lineup out of midweek. So
it's very clear that New England right now is playing for CONCACAF.
Right. They're off to a horrible start in MLS.
And not MLS. Right. So Charlotte has a chance. And I wanted to make this point all show is that 1 point Saturday night against Cincinnati, blowing that lead late is fine if you go to New England and you get 3 against the worst team in the league. We're going to be talking about that on Charlotte Soccer Show this week. And by the way, I just want to say, like, we've been looking at this backdrop. How beautiful is this?
It's
a rapid hop fly today. We're on the
Queen
upstairs,
City. The real Queen City.
A beautiful look. You can see the stadium right behind us as well. Just a great look at Charlotte on a beautiful Easter. Happy Easter to everybody. Danny, thanks so much for your hard work on today's show.
Yes, thank you.
Cheers to you,
Anna.
Crushed
it.
Always a pleasure to
Thanks for having me.
Hang out with you on the show today. And Danny, I got to tell you, you're not going up to New England, are you?
No.
We're not going to get you up there?
I actually, by court order, I'm not allowed to go to Fenway Park, so I just don't even get within 100 miles.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to tell that story and a couple of stories off air. So.
Yeah. That's a true story. I need to hear this walk to the stadium story.
I'll tell you here in just a second. Until next time, as always, Danny Brands.
For the crown, baby.